And welcome back to the Insane Asylum. It is the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Podcast covers all and anything horror. I'm Otis B. Dreads. Of course, I got Mrs. Dreads here. Looks like she just got ran over by a truck. How are you, Mrs. Dreads?
I feel like I got ran over by a truck.
Well, that's not good. You're going to be okay for the duration of this program.
Yeah.
All right. Got a good one. Hey, of course, it is movie night, so Night of Living Dreads goes to the movies. So, of course, we have Dom. I don't know why we keep him silent for so long.
This is
third time here in the Insane Asylum. Second time going to the movies with Night of the Living Dreads. So, Dom, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. You guys try to keep me quiet because once I start talking, I'll never shut the hell up.
Well, I know. That's why I'm going to get my intros out first and then hand it over to you. Hand the mic. I'm just going to pause my mic. That's right. Night of the Living Dreads going to the movies. We got Dom. We got myself, Otis B. Dreads, Mrs. Dreads. Before we get into that, we got to give out some horror love. Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. Check them out. Misfit Horror Fiend Club. I got my new Misfit Horror Fiend Club t-shirt on as we speak.
Yeah.
You wore yours last night to the movies to see the new It. Yeah. So Misfit Horror Fiend Club, go check them out over there on Facebook. Bunch of cool, these are just, you know, Night of the Living Dreads recommendations. We have After Dark. They are like kingpin of the,
Watch parties,
man. They'll do, like, music videos. I mean, just whatever. They are always out there doing watch parties. Zombie boob. Nothing is better than a good zombie boob. All right.
I don't even have nothing to say about it.
There's crickets. And, of course, our non-horror love goes to Cannabis Arcade. Cannabis spelled with a K. You need your fix of dark humor. And, of course, lots of pics of some good, good Mary Jane. That's where you want to be, Cannabis Arcade. And, of course, Night of the Living Dreads, we're over there. Check us out, nightoflivingdreads.com. And I also feel that it is my duty to kind of talk about a particular YouTube channel. I haven't even mentioned this on the podcast. I didn't want to feel like I was, you know, tooting my own fucking horn or whatever. But I am doing narration over there at Serial Killers Documentaries. Were you going to say something, Dom?
I said you should toot your own horn and give that a plug. Do that, man.
I am. Toot, toot, my friend. And, so I'm through a poll that they did with their subscribers over there at, once again, Serial Killers Documentaries. I almost said .com. I tried out, and I am now their voice of their documentaries, so which is really cool. And I just finished the script for the first documentary I'm going to be narrating. Which will be on one Charles Manson.
Yep.
So just finished that script. I feel like all I've done is talk all day. But please, Serial Killers Documentaries on YouTube. Jump on over there, subscribe, check them out. They got a lot of cool stuff over there. Starting to put out a lot of good original content and getting rid of, you know, just, you know, simple uploads and whatnot.
That's the one with the white little van.
The one with the white little van with SKD on the side of it. Because there is another one channel out there just called Serial Killer Documentaries. The killer, the one you want to go to is Killers. So, all right. Now, I do have one thing that I want to talk about real quick before we get into this week's movie selection. Is Mrs. Dredge is already shaking her head. Oh my goodness.
I have to apologize before we even get this started.
Well, no, because, you know, we didn't know, at least me and you, I can't speak of Dom, but me and you didn't know, had never seen the movies that we picked. But before we get into that, I'm sure you guys have heard about Sid Haig here lately. It's been kind of all over my feed and the different horror groups, a lot of the ones that I just mentioned, going through the social media arenas, that Sid Haig in ICU after suffering an accident. Now, this is from iHorror.com, and they state, we've got some unfortunate news to report today. Iconic actor Sid Haig is currently hospitalized in the ICU after suffering an unspecified accident. We still don't know to this day what this accident was. His wife, Susie, kind of put a message out there on her Instagram account that simply says, "Update coming soon. That is all for now. Please pray. Thank you all." It doesn't seem too good. You just don't, you're not in ICU for just some small accident. Dom, I'm sure you've heard about this. What's your thoughts on this? And have you heard anything new? Because I searched through some of the news concerning Sid, and I couldn't find anything new. It was all basically just, you know, regurgitating the same story. We still don't know what this accident was. What's your thoughts, and have you heard anything?
No, it seems to be that all the sites are reporting kind of the same thing on it. I guess this happened, 2 days ago? Was this Friday or Saturday?
Yeah. It was here within the past couple of days, and it was just yesterday he was moved to ICU, so he went into the hospital for, whatever, and then was moved to ICU. So it went from bad to worse is what it sounds to me.
Yeah, there. I don't know anything else about it. That's all that I've heard. There's been no other updates. All I can say, keep your thoughts with Sig. He's an amazing actor, and hopefully whatever this is, he'll come through it. I mean, I've been in the ICU before, so it's not the end of the road, but
no.
We don't know why he's in there, so hopefully it's something that he recovers from quickly and gets back to his normal life.
Yeah, absolutely. Much love and prayers go to the Haig family. He is 80. The creator of the Misfit Horror Fiend Club, husband-wife combo, they just recently went to a convention, horror convention there in their local area. I think it was Kansas City area, and they met Sid, and they said through all the people, all the actors that were there, and they saw some big ones, Kane Hodder, but Sid never took a lunch. It was his birthday that day. He turned 80, didn't take a lunch, stood there, sat there the entire time, signing autographs, talking with people, talking with fans, taking pictures the whole time. He was a real trooper from what I hear. So, and that really says a lot, I think, in, today's culture with actors and he sounds like a really down-to-earth guy. And who knows what this accident could be? It just doesn't, like you said, Dom, you just don't go to the ICU for something minor, It's not the end of the road, but it's not a good start to that road to recovery if you have to start there.
Definitely.
Yeah, so just wanted to throw that out there. I know it's been around quite a lot now, but I was hoping maybe we could, have some good news that he's out of ICU, that he's doing better, but no, not that one.
No, all I'll right. Take that now.
And here we go. Grab your popcorn, ladies and gentlemen. NLD's going to the movies. Now, for those who don't know or haven't listened to what this is all about, NLD going to the movies, each of us pick a movie, and each of us have to watch the three movies. Of course, the one we picked and the other two. And then we discuss them here. Now, I think personally, and there's no rules here. I mean, we just, on picking movies, as long as it's horror. But I like to be surprised kind of a thing. So I like to, and you were definitely surprised, Mrs. Dreads. I like to be surprised in the way that maybe it's a movie I've never heard of. Maybe it's one that I've maybe heard of, but no, I've never seen. And I just like to kind of roll the dice. And That's what I did this week. I believe that's what I did last week, or the last time we went to the movies. We're going to start with Mrs. Dredds. Now, Mrs. Dredds, what was your glorious, glorious pick for this week? it's even hard to start, I know.
Yeah, the movie I picked is a 1965 film, and when it first came out, it came out over in Britain, and it was called Fanatic. When it was released in the United States, it was released as Die My Darling.
Was it Die My Darling?
Yes.
It's great Misfits song, horrible fucking movie.
It was directed by Silvio Nerizzano from Hammer Films.
Hammer Films.
Yeah. Bad movie.
Usually has a pretty good reputation. Wouldn't you say, Dom, didn't you say you were a big fan of Hammer Films?
I grew up watching tons of the old Hammer and Universal horror films. If I did see this one, I'd block it from my memory.
Right. With good reason. Tell us a little bit more about this, Mrs. Dredd.
You won't recognize
any actor but
Donald
one.
Sutherland.
But one.
Yeah, Donald Sutherland is in it. Him and, like, the movie we picked last week doesn't have a whole lot of... He's slow.
Yes.
He's slow in the movie, but a girl goes to see her dead boyfriend or fiancé, what we assume is her fiancé, mother. And it just goes downhill from there.
She's a wackadoo.
Not the girl. The mother is. The mother's a wackadoo.
No, the lead actress's acting is wackadoo.
Yeah, it was bad.
So you have this woman who apparently is what, I mean, she's already engaged with somebody else.
That's why she came out there.
Yeah, and this guy, I don't know, was he like a filmmaker or something?
He's something, but he was going to meet a producer, and she let him know that she was going to see her ex-dead fiance's
mother, which would have been her future mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And she turns out to be fucking nutty.
Yeah, she, because she's a religious fanatic, and she makes it out that if this girl is going to marry her son, even though he passed away, that she is bound to him for eternity.
Bound forever.
She's not allowed to be with anybody else, that she's going to remain a virgin for the rest of her life. And
Dom, didn't I hear you say earlier, before we actually, got this whole shindig kicked off, that she was your favorite actress, that you thought that was the silver lining and otherwise a pile of shit?
Yes, I guess the actress is Tallulah Bankhead, and I can't say she's great in this movie. She just became the focal point that I paid attention to, that made it the most enjoyable to me and helped get me through it. And I mentioned before we went on the air, I actually read up a little bit on her, and it said that she was actually drinking heavily during the making of this film. And a lot of the time she's intoxicated while they're shooting.
She would have to be.
And I felt like I wanted to be intoxicated the whole time I watched this movie.
Hey, trust me, Dom. You wouldn't even be able to enjoy it then, because I've tried.
If we could, instead of me reviewing it, how about we'll just paste in, like, the Misfits playing Die, Die, My Darling. Who stars her, and then at the end, I'll yell, one skull!
I think I mentioned to you that this movie owes us a skull.
Right? Are you done, or?
Oh, have at it. The floor is yours, my friend. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had to start this movie four times to get through it. I was excited when I heard of it because, I mean, it's originally was Fanatic, but now it's Die Die My Darling. I was familiar with the Misfits song when I was like, I don't know, 15, 16 years old. I used to play drums. I was and so many bands that covered Misfits and stuff back then, in the late 80s, like, we loved that, like, the punk and the hardcore scene and all that. And, like, I don't recall ever having actually seen this movie. So when the name came up, Die, Die, My Darling, I'm like, you know what, cool. Like, if first thing comes to my head is the Misfits. And I'm like, well,
same.
I don't know, the Misfits must have been inspired by this movie.
They
like,
were.
This movie
they actually stated they were.
And so I'm like, this movie's going to be good. I can't wait. And then I started, and it's Hammer Films. And I'm like, yeah, I love the old Hammer horror films. But not this one. It's just it's just slow, and there's not a lot happening, and the acting really isn't that good. And a lot of the things that I like in the old films isn't here. Like, the scenery is just, it's, I don't know, it's just drab. It's real plain. There's nothing, you know, like the house and that. Like, I can appreciate older films just for what's go, like the house and the furniture and the clothing, mm-hmm, right, and, you know, and all that. I can, but not even in this one, like, it was just, it just didn't have much anything, really. The concept, the story of it is kind of like, you know, it's not a bad story. It's not a bad idea or anything like that. But the execution of it is just not good at times. It's just downright just bad, just real bad. Like,
yeah, I actually called this an endurance film, not maybe in the way that, you know, you would call endurance films, like we've described on past podcasts,
right,
meaning it was so grotesque and disgusting that it was hard to sit through. No, not that. No, this was just so grotesque and horrible of a movie. Not the content, what, you know, wherein that's gross, and just the acting. It was just all around bad. It was that kind of endurance film.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree, because like I said, like, the first time I put it on, it was maybe 5 minutes in, and I'm just like, oh, you know what? I'm not ready for this.
What did Mrs. Dredds do to us this week?
And the second time I started it, I was like, oh, this hasn't got any better. I'm like, maybe if I just leave and keep going and I don't really pay attention to it, I can get through it. And I was like, no, I got to stop this. I just have to shut it off. And then, like, I don't know, the third time I was like, all right, you know what? I'm committed. This is, I'm going to watch this movie, so I know what I'm talking about when I go do the podcast, and I can be like, yes, I saw it. And I started it the third time, and I got about halfway through it. Maybe close to the hour mark, and I was just like, "Oh my god,
no
I
more!
Have to stop
please
this
stop!"
Movie. And then when I finished it, I didn't start it from the beginning. I started it from close to that point to get to the end. Like, I was like, "No,
I just
couldn't do it." Like, it's a one skull movie, or like you said, maybe it's even minus skulls. Like, if you don't,
I think they
movie,
owe us skulls. Yeah.
Right? If you get through life without seeing this movie, you haven't missed anything. Like, you
nothing.
Didn't. This is not quintessential horror, something that everybody needs to see. Like, last week, I was real pleasantly surprised with what was in the Baby Spider, Maddest Story or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was an old film that I knew nothing about. I had never heard about it. Like, I raved about, like, 4.5 stars. Like, I loved it. Like, oh, yes. And that's what I was hoping was going to happen here, but that is definitely not what happened here. Like, if you're going to sit down to watch this movie, like, do yourself a favor and go watch Baby Spider instead, or Spider Baby, whatever it's called.
Yeah, because if you sit down and watch Die, Die, My Darling, understand this, dear viewers, listeners, you don't get this dime back.
Mm-mm.
It's gone. Forever. And look how much time that it took Dom to get through this. So Dom's already thrown out. I mean, he said, you know, pretty much, you pretty much said that one skull was being overly generous.
Yeah, this is one skull. Like, this is a bad movie. Like,
it's kind of like a, I don't know, what do you call it, a consideration skull? You know, it's like, we'll be considerable here or something.
Maybe half skull, like, it doesn't have the bottom jaw.
We can give
maybe.
Half skulls. Yeah, we can give
you
half
know what,
skulls.
Because at some
half.
Point, like, maybe it's like the Stockholm syndrome where people are being abused and they begin to feel sympathy with the abusers. But like at some point I started to enjoy the lead character, like the mother, the religious fanatic mother. I started to enjoy her. Probably during the third time I sat down to watch this movie, I was like, you know what? I'm going to focus my attention on her. And maybe she's the only reason why I'm giving this half a skull. But, like, I'm going to say avoid this film. That's my opinion.
Yeah, avoid it like the plague. Mrs. Dredge, you're probably feeling the same way the rest of us are.
Right. I'm at least going to give it one skull. I picked the movie, so I got to give it some credit.
No, you don't. If it's bad, it's bad.
I'll give it one skull.
One skull, really?
Yeah.
I wish quarter skulls were in order here, but I guess I'm going to
have give it an eye socket. Here's an eye socket. There you go.
Here's an eye. I give it an eye socket.
No, give it a tooth.
I don't even know if I'd give it a fucking tooth. But I guess as low as we're going is a half skull. That's what I'm going to have to give. But don't worry, folks. It does get better before maybe it gets a little worse. Dom, what was your pick? What are we going to the movies to see this week from Dom?
My pick was the 2014 release, As Above, So Below, written and directed by John Eric Dowdle, excuse me, and starring Perdita, oh my God, I can't say the name, Weeks, and Ben Feldman, and Edwin Hodge, and there's a whole bunch of actors. I recommend this movie because I had seen it. This was actually like maybe, I'm going to say maybe the fifth time I've actually watched this movie since it's been released. And one of the reasons why I suggested it was I wanted to recommend it to you two, The View, because this is a movie that a lot of people that I knew who were horror fans had trashed this film, had said very negative things about this movie, just absolutely hated this. And when I first sat down the first time to watch this movie, I kind of came in like, oh, this movie's probably going to be stupid, like most modern horror films. And by the time this movie was over, I was like, what is wrong with people? I enjoyed every bit of this movie. I enjoyed this movie maybe too much for modern horror. I don't know. But there was so much that I liked. It takes place in the catacombs. Well, at first we start and they're in, I believe, Iraq. And they're underground. Going down, looking at something, and they're trying to get them through, but either Iraq or Iran, but they're blowing the place up, and it's got stuff in there. Her father was, what's the word? An archaeologist.
Alchemist.
Or something.
He was in the alchemy.
That's what it was. And it starts off there, and then we end up in the catacombs, and there's so much, like this movie, I love so much of the visuals. And the atmosphere, first, the atmosphere of the catacombs is just great to begin with. But then there's a lot of stuff in this movie that just looks like the stuff I see in my nightmares. And that's why I like it.
Yeah.
Like there's times when there's a phone ringing. And it's like it's the phone from like my grandmother's house or whoever. I can't remember exactly, you know, what belonged to who, but like there's times where you have these nightmares and like stuff from your, it's like, oh, there's the couch from my childhood and there's the phone from my cousin's house. And like everything's in your dreams just put there. And that's kind of what's happening here. Like they find the old piano and it's like, wow, this looks like, you know, the one that I had when I was a kid, except the key didn't work. And then they hit the key and they're like, it don't work. And it's like, oh, how weird. And there's other things when they come around the corner and there's that guy sitting in the chair. He's just like, I don't know what he is. He's just dressed in black. He's like this big hooded.
The black hoodie. He's got like a black cloak or something on.
And he's sitting in this chair in this blackness. And he's like, if you come around a corner and see that, it's like, who is this? Why is this guy here? Like, nothing good is coming out of this. Like, who hangs out here? You know, like, you know that something is so wrong. And that's what I enjoyed in this movie was just a lot of the atmosphere, the visuals like that. I liked a lot of that. I liked the stuff when I didn't quite understand even better, because it's just, it shouldn't make sense, some of it. And, you know, as they get lost in the catacombs and they're going deeper and deeper and deeper, they come across the sign that says "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." And it says in, what is it? I forget where it said, but it said that was inscribed before the gates of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're actually doing is descending further in hell. And even the ending, when I complain so much about the way movies end nowadays, the newer horror films, like, I'm not even disappointed with the ending, even though it's like, people are like, I don't understand, like, you're going down, you're going down, you're going down, and here comes the big spoiler, because I'm going to throw it out there, it's 5 years old. And you end up at the end of the movie, like, you come out on the streets, and it's like, how did that happen? It's like, well, the whole point of above and so below is how things are an inversion of reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point you begin from the top and you descend down, but you hit that inversion and it seems like you're going down, but really you're going back up. I just love so much of this movie. I've seen it. Like I said, this had to be the fifth time I sat down to watch this movie. Every time I sit down and watch it, I enjoy it. I've never once like been like, oh, you know what? This was better the first time or the second time that I saw it. I don't start picking out things. I don't find little flaws that start to annoy me. I don't find things that make me start to say that this was a bad movie. I give this movie 5 skulls. Like, and that's something I don't do with films in the 2000s. It's real rare. But for me, I'm going to give this one 5 skulls because I've seen it 5 times. And 5 times I've enjoyed this movie from beginning to end. It's found footage. I guess it's kind of, you could say it's found footage. It's done in that kind of first person kind of thing, which a lot of people say is done to death and everything else. But sometimes when things are done right, you know, like it's okay to do something that's been done before if you execute it properly. And I feel like this was just executed great. I love this movie. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I don't expect you to enjoy it as much as I did, maybe, but I hope you guys enjoyed this movie.
I did, and here's the funny thing, is I came across this on Netflix a while ago, and I started watching it, and I was like, okay, because I understand the old as above, so below, and a lot of people that I've talked to know that I used to do political talk radio and more of the political conspiracy talk. So I was thinking, you know, look, I'm looking for a horror film. This is already seeming like, you know, starting out in, like you said, Iraq, Iran, wherever. I'm already thinking, okay, this. So I tried to watch it, and I would get about a half an hour into it, and I would turn it off. This movie literally, and when you hear my complete analysis and thoughts on this movie, you'll realize that, you know, but it took me at least 3 times to get through it. Not because the first time, because yes, I turned it off. This last time though, we'll skip ahead. This last time when you told me this was the movie that, you wanted to, talk about, me and Mrs. Dreads put it on. My good friend from Misfit Horror Fiend Club, he wanted to, you know, chat on Skype. So I was like, okay, right on, man. We'll chat for a few. Now, I came in kind of early, before anything, you know, really happened. You just started to get the gist of who the character was, the main character, you know, and her father. And you started getting the base of the story in intact. I come in here, talked for about 30 minutes, walk back out, and there are people covered in blood. There are strange figures, you know, in black cloaks passing, you know, down a corridor in some spooky, you know, underground cavern. It was like, okay, and Jody had fallen asleep. She had worked that day, so she was there. She had fallen asleep, and I was like, she didn't change the movie. This doesn't look like the same movie. Now I'm really intrigued. because I didn't give it, you know, enough patience, I guess, to make it do that part. It turned out, and I can't understand. I can to a point, but I don't see where horror fans and horror movie fans should really shit on this movie. Because it turned out to be quite eerie and frightening at some points. I had some good jump scares. There was some good gore. And there was a good storyline. It kept me captivated. The acting, I thought, was superb. I thought the acting was really, really well done. It was shot like, you know, found footage, you know, the video camera. But I think, like you said, Dom, I think if it's done right, it can really make for an awesome, awesome movie. I give this 4.5 skulls. Mrs. Dredge, what'd you think of this movie?
Well, I have to say, Dom, that I do thank you for this movie, because it's not a movie that if I was scrolling through anything that I may pick up on, or I may, but I'm really glad I watched it, because it was a damn good movie. I mean, like you guys said, there really wasn't any flaw in the movie. Even when it came to the end, that, like you said, you can't be disappointed.
No.
I mean, because you get to know the characters throughout the movie. And they're not ones that are cheesy or ones that you think at 5 minutes into the movie, yeah, I'd like to see this asshole dead. Or
right. No.
Something that you're right. Really rooting for them to get through this.
I kind of was. And you know, it made me think when you were talking about that, when the situations, the precarious situations that they were in, the atmosphere, like you said, Dom, the atmosphere, I think, was absolutely awesome throughout the, because, you know, it's not the same kind of movie, but like Pontypool, that atmosphere of just being in that radio station, that atmosphere of them just keep going down and down and down, and then they're just in, you know, areas and places that they've never been, and there's strange things, and there's skulls every fucking where, and dead, and, you know, great, great movie. Again, I would like to thank you, Dom, for this one, man. Great pick this week, my friend.
Yeah, so I'd have to say I'd give it between 4.5 and 5 stars.
No, you gotta pick one or the other.
I'll go 5 with this one.
Man. 5 stars, wow.
5, nice. That's, you know what, the acting was real good. Like, you mentioned, the characters, they developed them good, and it wasn't somebody that you were like, oh my God, I can't wait till this person's dead and out of this film. Like, you do start to pull for them. You start to feel like you're with them, like you're going through this, and maybe that's, you know, part of that found footage, first person kind of thing happening or whatever, but it does, it sucks you in, and I think it's just done right, and it is good, and I think people should give this movie a chance. If this is something that, like, you heard from somebody, oh, that movie sucked or whatever, but you haven't seen it yourself, I think if you truly enjoy horror and atmospheric horror, and, you know, the visuals and the settings there in the catacombs is cool, and then you get, like, they descend into hell, like, that's real cool, and then there's stuff happening, and it's like, wow, okay. I think you would enjoy this movie. I think horror fans should maybe give this another shot.
And last but not least, your buddy and pal, Otis B. Dredge, picks The Revenge of Frankenstein. That's right, 1958, the oldest in the bunch this week.
Yeah.
A British horror film. Not only a British horror film, but a Hammer film. That's right, 2 Hammer film productions in 1 week. I hate to say it, but mine, I think, is a little bit better than your pick.
Yeah.
This has some big names in it as well. Peter Cushing. A lot of horror fans will recognize that name. This movie is basically the sequel to The Curse of Frankenstein. That was the Studios' 1957 adaptation of Mary Shelley's novel Frankenstein. Did you get all that?
I got all that. All
right. And what this basically is, okay, Dr. Frankenstein, okay, Baron Frankenstein,
yeah,
is going to be put under the knife, and not in a surgical fashion, under the guillotine. And he has some help from his little buddy, his little hunchback buddy, to get him out of this. He doesn't get decapitated. He actually... or does he?
No.
Now that I'm thinking about
no,
this...
No, he doesn't.
The way this movie plays out...
No, his side... His the guy who ends up working for him gets him out of it.
He gets him out of it.
And then he changes his name and goes by Stein. Dr.
Yes.
Stein.
Yeah, they cut the priest hat off and they buried the priest.
Yep.
That's right. They buried the priest in his grave. A couple yep. drunk grave robbers found that out. This movie made me laugh a couple of times. I'm not gonna lie. But anyway, Dr. Victor Stein was what Frankenstein went by.
Yeah.
And his revenge now for, you know, his, I guess, failed experiment was to make the perfect man, or the perfect monster. But this didn't look so much like a monster.
Mm-mm.
Looked like a, you know, pretty normal looking human being. No way. And, well, I got distracted there. I have bings going off on my phone here. anyway, he decides he's going to make a another monster. This monster takes the brain of his little friend, the little hunchback, the guy who...
Who's paralyzed.
Yeah, he's paralyzed on the one side. He's all fucked up.
His face is all fucked
face
up.
Face is all fucked up. His arms all... Everything, you know. And he wants to... He offered his brain to put in this body. Okay? He was going to offer himself up to science, I guess you could say. And... Bam. Next thing you know, the brain and the dog. This damn dog, man. The brain ends up in the body. That doesn't go very well, does it, Mrs. Dredds?
Nope.
No, it doesn't. All of a sudden, the body starts, like, reacting to what, you know, the brain knew or something as far as the being paralyzed, wasn't it? Is that how it was?
Yeah. Well, he falls for the nurse, or what would be a modern-day Candy Striver.
Right, right.
Because she isn't really a nurse, but he right. falls for her, so he starts following her and stuff after she lets him out of his restraints after he had surgery. And they said that if with any excitement or anything or any stress, that it could have adverse effects on his brain.
He saw her bustle.
Which it did. And his body started going back to the paralyzed state. So he started acting out. And
things went bad.
Yeah.
Things went very bad. Weird ending, though, to this one. What'd you think about the ending, Dom?
The ending, I enjoyed. What I didn't enjoy about the actual ending was Peter Cushing still playing the part.
Yeah.
I liked... There's a lot I like in this movie. I like the story. For people who are just fans of Frankenstein, like, you have to be a Frankenstein fan, I think, to enjoy this movie. I don't think it's for just if you're just casual horror, you're going to pop this on, I don't think you're going to enjoy it. But if you're a fan of the Frankenstein story itself, then this is an enjoyable movie. It's For the time, for 1958, being an hour and a half, it does seem a bit long because it's a lot of dialogue. It's a lot of story. The acting in the film, though, is real good. Like, I mean, Peter Cushing is good. The accomplice, or whatever you want to call him, the guy who's learning under him, he's real good. I like Carl, that was the hunchback guy who was getting his brain transplanted. I like the guy who was like a janitor that was like, oh, I know a secret about the secret.
Oh, the drunk secret. Guy, he acted out like he was always drunk.
He was fun. I enjoyed him. Mm-hmm. I thought he played that character. I liked it. He was hamming it up a bit, but like I thought his character was enjoyable. I liked how when Carl first gets his brain transplanted into Frankenstein, or this Frankenstein body, I guess we can call it the monster body. And he's laying in the bed, and he's all excited about his new life because now he's got full use. He doesn't have this half-paralyzed body. He doesn't look like half of his face was kind of deformed. He doesn't have that going on anymore. And he's like, finally, he's like, I'm going to have a normal life. And Frankenstein's assistant starts to explain to him how doctors are going to, from people, how important he's going to be. You're going to be important in the medical field, in the field of science, and people are going to want to talk to you. And the guy's laying in bed, and he's like, all my life, people have been staring at me, and all I want is them not to stare at me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he realizes that everyone's going to be staring at him because they're going to tell everybody what they did. We took this guy's brain and we put it in his body. And this is what causes him to want to get out. Like, I got to escape. I got to get out of here because I want this normal life. And a lot of things are so enjoyable. And at the end, they start to find out that Dr. Stein is, of course, Baron Frankenstein. So there's a witch hunt for him because they know who he is now, and he was supposed to be put to death. There are some things you got to suspend your belief on, like when it opens at the guillotine scene and they're going to execute Baron Frankenstein because he created the Frankenstein monster and it just went on a rampage and did this horrible stuff. Nobody else seemed to come to see him get his head cut off. Like, you gotta. And it says how he had the whole continent was struck in fear with what he had created and what the monster had done. So you think all these people would be there, but it seems like it's just him and the two people that help him. One turns out to be Carl and this priest who they kill. So you have to kind of like ignore that little intro there. And get by that. But once you get by that, the story, the acting, everything is good. I like at the end of the movie the way when they all turn on Dr. Stein, because you find out as the movie goes on that this dude really, he looks like he's a doctor and he's helping all these people and he knows what he's doing, but he really has his own agenda going on. And he's kind of like, he's a bit of a prick. Like, he really comes across as a bit of a prick, which is good. Which is, I love the way Peter Cushing played this. And so at some point, all the patients turn on him. And they just beat Dr. Stein to death.
They beat the living shit out of him, yeah.
Yes, I love this whole story of what happens. And then his assistant comes and gets him and decides he's going to save him. And he's going to transplant Dr. Stein's brain the way Dr. Stein had done for Carl. And it's like, oh, this is awesome. And then at the end, you find out and instead of Dr. Stein, he's now somewhere else, and he's Dr. Frank, or however you want to say it. But yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. But then Peter Cushing is the guy again. And it's like, oh, no, it's the end of the movie. You could have had any other actor just like, I'm Dr. Frank now, because you transplanted Peter Cushing's brain out of his body and put it in a different body, is what you just told me. So I don't want Dr. Frank to look just like Dr. Stein. He has to be different. In that regard, the ending was slightly disappointing, but only because of the actor they chose, not because of the story itself. So as Frankenstein fans, if you can suspend belief right there in the beginning, and right there at the end, like, this is a really enjoyable movie for Frankenstein. Like, I would give this probably, I wouldn't watch it again. I'm not mad that I watched it. The movie itself in its time is probably a much higher rating than I am going to give it, because I am going to give it like a kind of a fair rating, like a, just a kind of horror-based rating. It's not like a Frankenstein series-based kind of rating.
Right.
I would say it was probably like a 2.5 skull, maybe a 3 skull movie. I'm gonna stick more to 2.5.
Okay.
Because there isn't a lot of stuff that happens that isn't storyline or dialogue. When he became the monster, and he when Carl becomes this monster and he starts to act out, I think they could have went with that a little more and gave us a little more of that. So because of that, I'm going to give it just a little bit of a lower score. But overall, it's as a Frankenstein movie, it's enjoyable. It's good. You can enjoy the story, the acting, the time that it's made. I like his laboratory. How to say it like that. But I like his laboratory, and I like the way they you know, seeing how they envisioned this stuff in 1950. I thought that was fun, the way they were cranking stuff up, and you know, you see all the wires and cords and all the stuff. You know, like, the visuals were good. The acting was good. As a Frankenstein movie itself, it's probably like a 4-star Frankenstein movie in the storyline and the series and that. But if you're not a fan of Frankenstein, then I mean, it's something I think you could watch, but you might not, you might turn it off. You might not get through it. You definitely have to enjoy the Frankenstein story concept to appreciate what this movie really is.
No, I agree. I couldn't agree more, actually. I think you really have to be, you know, one that, you know, does love the, well, not only Frankenstein, but I think that whole Universal Monsters type culture that came out in the, you know, mid-late 50s and that type of movie. But yes, particularly the Frankenstein series, if you like it, and you're a Frankenstein fan, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I actually own it. I just go and buy, like, you know, DVDs that may have 6 movies on them. They're all from the 50s or 60s. I have no idea what they are, but I'll buy them for $7.
I do the same thing. You know what? One of the biggest wins I ever got was I bought Night of the Living Dead like that, and the original black and white one. And I think there was 8 movies on there, but there turned out to be 2 other ones that I enjoyed. Now, granted, 5 of them were real bad.
Oh, leave it to Jody. She'll find them movies.
Oh, our Night of the Living Dead has 5 other movies on it.
Yeah, it does. And some of those are pretty bad as well.
Oh, yeah.
But
that might even be the same one I got.
It may be. But yeah, I was not too disappointed in this one. Me personally, I'm not going to talk too much about it, but I'll give it 3.5 stars. Skulls. Sorry.
I thought it was kind of dumb.
You thought it was dumb.
But it was one of those things that I didn't pay attention a whole lot
to. She actually thought that her movie was better than this one at one point, I swear.
But then I watched, then I sat down and actually watched it all the way through. And yeah. It's a pretty decent movie. I'm a Frankenstein fan, so if it's true that if you are a Frankenstein fan, that you probably will enjoy this movie.
Sure you will.
But if you're not into Frankenstein, then
how many skulls you may not give this, Miss Dredds?
I give it 3.
3 skulls. 3 yeah. Skulls. 3.5 from me. 2.5 from Dom. Comes in second this week. I think your movie got a total of 2 skulls.
I don't even think it got a full 2 skulls.
No, it did. You gave
oh,
it.
Oh, that's
you
right.
Gave
I gave
it
1
skull. I gave it a half. Dom gave it a half. It got a total of 2 skulls.
I'm in dead last again
people.
This week.
What?
I'm in last again this week.
Well, it's not a race. I mean, there's no standings.
But my movie. But I'm 2-0 right now.
2-0 Last place. Shit movies?
Well, Pontypool wasn't a bad movie.
No, it wasn't. The end.
No, no, that wasn't. That was a, I actually enjoyed the majority of it. Like, yeah.
But yeah.
But I, what I gave that, like, I think I gave it like 3, 3.5 skulls or something.
Yeah,
I think
it was up close, you know, in the 3 range. Mainly because of the ending. Yeah.
And now, to be fair, on my 2 picks, like, I've seen both my picks before, so I kind of knew what I was putting out there the first 2 episodes. Now, next time I'm on, I'm going to be throwing myself a curveball as well, so.
Hey, that's what makes it fun, my friend. It's like, oh my God, right? You would not believe what the fuck I picked this week. I just watched this, but. Yes. Hey, man, Dom, this was fun.
As always.
Thank you again, and I can't wait till the next time Night Living Dreads goes to the movies. I hear the white coats, Mrs. Dreads, that this cannot be good. Are you getting another infraction?
Maybe.
You always seem to get infractions all at the wrong time. All right, that's going to wrap it up. I think this is episode 42, maybe? 43?
42? I don't know. I think it might be 43.
I don't know either. At any rate, it has been fun. Thank you, Dom, again. Thank you, Mrs. Dreads.
You're welcome.
Thank you both.
Mrs. Dredd shakes her head. Okay, I you know, that doesn't.
We can hear that.
Yeah,
it doesn't work very well with podcasts. But thank you anyway, Mrs. Dredd. We will talk to you guys next week. Don't forget nightlivingdreads.com, nightlivingdreads on Stitcher
and Facebook,
all kinds of places to get in touch with us. We will see you on the other side.
No one knows. We're going to die.